Are you ready to ride? The airship's ready to go. Tonight, the airship's getting taken over by some blues. We got our co-host Tammy here with us tonight. She's back again. How you doing tonight, Tammy?
I'm great, Roy. Thanks for having me back, man.
It's good to have you here. You always warm the hearts on a cold night like this.
Thank
and we
you.
Got our engineer over here, and he navigates for us, Mr. Sean Wilson. How
the
you doing?
God.
Doing okay. How's everyone else doing?
Doing great tonight. Staying warm, doing our best out here in Montana. And from way up in the northeast, way up there, Moose Jaw, Saskatchewan. Mr. White Boy Slim with us tonight, gonna take the airship down the Blues Road. How you doing, White Boy?
I'm doing good. I'm really stoked to be here.
Oh, this
Thank
is
you so
great.
Much for being here.
Sad thing is, you're up north and you're just a couple of degrees warmer than us. How does that work? I'm jealous, man.
it's all that jet stream moving around and stuff. You know, it's polar inversions and things like that. So everything's upside down.
He was out getting a suntan today.
Yeah, there you go. You know, when it hits zero out here, I think I'm going to go out with just my T-shirt on. It's going to feel warm.
Yeah.
So, got a question for you. Listening to your music, really digging it. Actually talked to a lot of people in the area here, people in the studio knew who you were. I'm listening to it, and it's the things it's bringing up in me. It's kind of like Tom Waits, some Robert Johnson, some Muddy Waters. Sounds like some good West Side Chicago. You know, I hear you in there with that nice French accent and doing some of it in French, and it makes me feel like down Louisiana way in the bayous. How do you come by all this way up north?
Well, for one thing, we're actually not that far from Chicago. And when I was a kid, used to stay up late at night with my little transistor radio under the covers and pick up WGN in Chicago. And after midnight, WGN in Chicago, before it was a talk radio station, used to play all sorts of crazy stuff. And, they departed from the top 40 when it got to be, 1 o'clock in the morning and stuff. So I was exposed to a lot of stuff. And then my dad had this incredible collection of albums. He had stuff like Louis Armstrong and, Ray Charles and stuff like that. And in fact, the first concert I ever went to when I was a tiny little kid, my father took me to see Louis Armstrong when he was here in town. And that was like a life-changing experience to this, tiny little sprout that I was then. Mm-hmm. And so it was kind of organic, really.
Cool. Yeah, around here the only good station we could pick up when I was a kid, it was all the way out of Oklahoma City, and it was KOMA, and actually listened to the master himself, Mr. Wolfman Jack.
Mm-hmm. Oh, yeah.
Friday and Saturday nights he came on 10 o'clock, and I ain't even gonna try to do the Wolfman Jack growl or howl. You could probably do it better than I could, but yeah, that's what I grew up listening to.
Yeah. We got the Border Blasters. I grew up in El Paso, Texas. They got the Border Blasters.
Oh, yeah.
Oh, my gosh. I wish I could imitate that, but I can't talk in Spanish that fast. Tell me a little bit about your creativity and how you start to put your music together.
There's no single way. There's no single kind of template for it. Sometimes I'll just an idea will come to me and I'll have the entire song from beginning to end. And sometimes it's just an idea. I mean, a couple of the songs on Box What Box, the album that came out earlier this year. I had a drummer named Sam Dufour, who's now living in Toronto, who used to, in between sets at gigs, used to toss off lines to me, and I just write those down, and I kept a little book, and if I was looking for something to write, I'd take one of his song titles and make a song. But then, if I'm really stuck, I'll just think of somebody that I like, like the people you mentioned, like Howlin' Wolf or Muddy Waters or Tom Waits, and just write a song that sort of try and channel them, like write a Tom Waits song or write a Howlin' Wolf song or a Ray Charles song or something like that. So it's like whatever I can do to stir the juices, life gives you a lot of life gives you a lot of biographical stuff that will make a verse or two here and there.
Oh, sure.
God, with that, I almost want to cut into one of them, because one of my favorite songs that I've heard of all of yours so far, right off the bat, it reminded me of Tom Waits. And I think it's really cool that you do some of the songs like that and kind of pay homage to some of those people that were influences and things like that. And it's not, I don't get in any way you're trying to copycat them or anything else. It's just how you're feeling at the time right then, and that's kind of where it is. And so can you tell us a few words about Don't Offer Me Cristal?
Well, Don't Offer Me Cristal was one of those songs where I sat down and I thought, people had mentioned that the way I sing is a little bit like, you know, has something in common with Tom Waits. And I have to say that I've been singing this way since I was 16, when I was in the first rock band I was in. And although at times I tried to sing more normally, which I might add, Tom Waits did. If you've ever heard his very first album before the first official Tom Waits album, he did a demo where he's actually singing like a normal person. And he does it about as successfully as I do. But
is that a compliment?
we'll just let it sit there, I think. But I sat down and I wanted to write, you know, and I was a little bit stuck for an idea, and I thought, well, I'll just write a Tom Waits song, and Cristal was basically the result of that.
That's really cool. I really like that. So I think we're talking about it. We ought to just let everybody hear it here. So if you're ready over there, Sean, let's have Don't Offer Me Cristal.
Don't offer me Cristal. I don't want caviar. The only thing I really want is to be there where you are. Have no need for diamonds, Armani suits or Gucci shoes. Only thing I really need is to wake up next to you. A coffee on the corner, pizza from the neighborhood. Simple things with you beside makes everything seem good. Have no interest in fine dining, penthouse suites or limousine. Just to spend my days with you will fulfill my dreams. Money me tente pas. passent choses dont j'ai besoin et de se réveiller à côté de toi. Café au bistrot, à marcher dans le campagne. Les choses simples avec tout seul sont tout ce qui est bon. Cuisine, main, dresse pas, ni sweet penthouse, ni limousine. Juste pour être avec toi, c'est tout ce que je rêve.
So cool. I'm sitting here watching Tammy, and she's just kind of gliding back and forth and rolling into it.
Oh, man, I need a cigarette now. And I quit smoking 6 years ago.
You know, that song has such a good feel about it. And then coming into it with French, and French, you have one of those, it's one of those languages where someone can tell you to eat dog shit on a toothpick and it just sounds beautiful and you want to do it.
Oh, yeah. Yep. That was amazing.
Well, thank you. Thank you.
And you know, White Boy, I purposely don't listen to any of the music if it's a new artist that we're interviewing because I want to be surprised and I want to approach it with, if you'll excuse the expression, virgin ears. Right. And I have to say that listening to that was just like putting butter on toast. It was so smooth and wonderful and just... Woof! Sorry, well, I have no words.
No, that's great. I that makes me all warm and gooey inside.
I could go on about it and talk about the guitar riffs in it and everything beautiful. Else. The journey that they take. I mean, the guitar riffs in it are as much a journey as the words to the song are, and that's really cool. That's really cool.
Yeah.
So. White boy.
Yeah, white boy.
Yeah, white
boy. We want to know about white boy. White boy.
Yeah, where's white boy?
White boy.
Tell us the story behind white boy.
Okay.
And can you dance? Because we've all heard white boys can't dance.
Yeah. Can't jump either.
Yeah, when I lived in Toronto, I had a friend of mine and I used to go almost every night to this club that no longer exists called the Bamboo Club. Where they had some amazing reggae bands, and we would actually, it would be like colder than it is now, and we'd be out dancing, and we'd have to take a change of clothes because we'd sweat up so much in the club that if we walked home, we'd freeze to death.
Oh my!
So we got a lot of, you know, sort of you develop certain skills in reggae clubs. You know, the white boy thing comes. I was in a band in Toronto when I was still living there called Automatic Slim. And I took some time off and a friend of mine and I wrote a book, A History of Moose Jaw, which is a very interesting place because it used to be called Little Chicago because it was on the other end of a train line, a direct line from Chicago here. So a lot of booze was shipped to like Al Capone from Moose Jaw and stuff. So we wrote this book because it was really interesting. And then when I started back playing again after the book was published, I was going to start up as Automatic Slim. But I Googled the name Automatic Slim, and there were six bands out there in the interim who had put out albums. So I needed something else. So I was on this blues forum on, I can't remember which one, but it was some blues forum online. I got that incredibly frustrating argument about whether a white boy can play the blues, and I got so mad that from that moment on I called myself White Boy Slim as kind of like a middle finger at all these people who said I couldn't do it.
Well, not to sound what's the word?
Racist.
Yeah. If I were to just listen to the music and not ever see or anything, you know, the vision I get is going to be some old black man down Louisiana.
Mm-hmm.
Without a doubt.
That's
Yep.
That's the nicest thing anybody's ever said to me.
Probably missing half his teeth too, yeah. And led a really hard life, and
just making love to his guitar like there's no tomorrow, man.
Yep, exactly. That's just the way it is. And next song we're gonna play here, Befriendation, and I know what listening to that song, what it makes me think of, and where I'm at in my life right now, and things that are going on. It really describes it well. Where'd you come up with it? What was behind it when you wrote that?
Well, that song actually started years and years and years ago, and it sat in a drawer for a long time. It was half written, and it was I was and am a really big fan of Earth, Wind, and Fire. I think they're like one of the most amazing bands of either century. And I was trying to write something, you know, some funk thing that would kind of have that Earth, Wind, well, like I was talking about before. I was trying to write an Earth, Wind, and Fire song. And one of the things that struck me was that R&B was getting into this thing of, you know, booty calls and really kind of shallow lyrics about, you know, about people not treating each other very well, basically. And I thought, well, Earth, Wind, and Fire, and this is like years later when I brought it out of the drawer again, and I thought, well, Earth, Wind, and Fire, one of the things that was nice about them is they had this sort of spiritual sweetness about them, that was really like a positivity. They were full of positivity. So I thought, well, here, I'm going to take that kind of R&B sensibility that has grown up and turn it inside out and give that kind of positive thing that Earth, Wind, and Fire did. And then of course the French lyrics came just as a, because I was talking to a friend of a really good friend of mine in France, a singer and musician, and we were conversing in French online, and I thought, wow, you know, this would be really cool to take it to that other level, because there's a whole tradition of you know, American musicians going to France and of some really cool French musicians. And I thought, well, I'll just bring that into the mix too. And
now, do you do that in all of your songs and all of your music? Do you bring that French aspect into it, the language and the mood?
The mood, yes. Those two songs are the first two songs that I ever got recorded that have the French in it. I want to do a lot more French. And you mentioned El Paso. I speak a little bit of Spanish. I wouldn't even begin to speak Spanish on the radio. But I'm trying to learn Spanish too. And I love you know, South Texas music and Mexican music and stuff. So I'm trying to bring some of that stuff. And you mentioned New Orleans. I mean, New Orleans is, you know, there's the whole Cajun French thing there. So I'm trying to pull everything that really interests me into the mix. You know,
I would imagine that bringing Tejano music into the blues would be kind of difficult, because Tejano music is so upbeat, almost to the point where you want to give it some, you know, shove some Prozac down their throats because they're too happy.
Yeah.
I was just thinking, when you're Spanish, if you can, you know, if you can find tequila, beer, and get laid, that's really all the Spanish you need to know.
Really? The only, if you're going to Mexico, the only phrases you need to know are, one, ¿dónde está el baño? Which is, where's the bathroom? And
bathroom.
Yo necesito dos cervezas, por favor, señor. Which means, I need two beers, please, sir. And then once you have the two beers, and then you ask for the two more, ¿dónde está el baño? I made the white
she
boy
was holding
crack
herself
up.
When she was saying that, just so you know. You know, I'll give you the whole visual here.
I was
here.
Doing the pee-pee dance.
One of the musicians I asked, my first Austin musician I ever heard of was Doug Somm, like the Sir Douglas Quintet and all the other stuff that he did. And I've got this, I downloaded from emusic.com a couple of years ago, the complete Mercury years of Doug Somm. And it's got hundreds, I mean, it's, I don't know, it's like 10 CDs. I got like 10 CDs worth of music for $10. And he's got all this incredible stuff because he's got all this Mexican stuff in there and blues stuff. And he's, you know, he does straight ahead blues things. And he recorded with Roy Head, the R&B guy, and stuff like that. And I think he's an absolute genius because he actually did put some stuff together that is right there in the middle of Mexican stuff, like, you know, all sorts of Mexican stuff and country and blues and R&B. And it just sort of, it's like if you've got this Venn diagram, he's right in the middle of all of those things. I've never been to Austin. I want to go to South by Southwest so bad. Mm-hmm. But and of course he's dead. He passed quite a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
But that Austin thing is that, you know, I mean, you think of all the blues musicians who came from around there. There's that that it's like the French thing in New Orleans. Well, Austin is that blues and Mexican stuff, and they just bring the whole thing together and makes it into this incredible dish, you know, with all these different flavors all popping up in it.
Now I miss Mexico.
Well, I think we're about ready to you ready to roll out for something and take a quick break here?
Sure.
I think we're gonna roll out and we're gonna do a couple of songs in a row here on this. And between the two of these, I think people are going to see a couple of different sides of what you can do, who you are. We're going to roll into Befriendation, and then we'll come back right after Undercover Blonde.
All right.
Setting my blood on fire, imagination starts to burn, delirious desire. Well, I'm not a man by nature, resistant to temptation. I don't want your money, I don't want sex, just want befriendation. You've been scammed, you've been sold lies, your trust has been abused. And every time you meet someone, you feel you're being used. But I have no agenda, I have no master plan. I don't wanna play you, please don't misunderstand. This may come as a surprise, a full-on revelation. Don't want your money, I don't want sex, just want befriendation. Ensemble nous allons vivre. Je dis sans hésiter.
attention. Je veux pas le bridge, je veux pas sex. Je veux a friend dictation. Dies, everybody stops to stare. She gets you in the crosshairs. Next thing you know, you're gone. Well, she's gonna take no prisoners. She's an undercover blonde. Well, your secrets are her target. She'll get inside your skin. Suggestions, she always plays to win. And when she gets you in her sights, you've nowhere left to run. Well, she always completes a mission, and she's an undercover blonde. Never disarm, no, you'll never disarm. Undercover blonde.
I want to know why I don't hear that one on blues stations all across the country.
Yeah.
That's what I want to know.
You know what, white boy? I'm just going to say, because we were talking before we cut into the songs about the Texas sound, and I got to say that Undercover Blonde reminds me of the Fabulous Thunderbirds. I don't know if you remember them.
Oh, yeah. Absolutely. Oh, yeah.
And yep. Also reminds me of some really early ZZ Top before they got commercialized.
I'm way too analytical. I'm listening to the two songs and I'm like, you know what, no matter how much I just want to be friends and not be in a relationship or anything, it always happens. There's going to be one out there that's going to dial their sights in on me, and that's it. My ass is going down in the crosshairs and it's all over from there because I'm a sucker.
I wish I could say I had that happening in my life. But I'm married.
See, it already happened.
Yeah, it already happened.
There you go.
15 years of the same thing. Love you, honey.
Well, yeah, you better throw that one in there.
That has a Texas thing going on because, you know, I was sort of channeling Albert King, who has a Texas connection there. You know, he was, one of the Texas style. So, yeah, I could. I'm really happy that you said that.
Well, thank you. Well, you're welcome. I think you need to get yourself down to Austin because you fit right in, dude.
I was talking to a manager. It didn't work out for other reasons, but I was talking to a manager who was based out of Austin, and about 2-3 years ago, and the plan was then and still is, although we've got to get it happening. Was to get down and do like a circuit from Texas down, you know, like through the southeast and down to New Orleans, and that's still the plan, because we played a bar of all places here in a small town in Saskatchewan, and the manager of the bar was from New Orleans, and she said, first thing we walked into the bar, and she said, well, she'd heard, you know, our EPK and, you know, some stuff online, and she said, you know, you guys have got to go down to New Orleans, because you'd fit right in there. And that's, and you know, sort of my idea of paradise would be touring back and forth from Austin to New Orleans, and then, you know.
Oh man, there's a whole lot of nothing in between there.
I got a friend of mine.
just Arkansas.
Speaking of blues and. You know, Spanish as a language. When I got a good friend of mine who speaks Spanish. She's from Mexico City, plays the blues, Mr. Rafael Tranquilino. And he went down this last year and just went down and entered into blues competitions down in New Orleans. And anybody can go down there and enter in it. And it's actually done him quite well for his career. He pulled out a second place out of it and did really well. And I could easily, I'm going to stroke the ego a little bit and say, don't be too humble. Go down there and enter.
Yeah,
definitely.
Totally.
Give my buddy Raf a run for his money. Definitely. Raf, if you're listening, watch out for this guy.
Yeah. Eyes behind you, Raf.
Well, I mean, that's kind of what the battle plan is, you know, in next year, I really want to get, you know, to make inroads into the U.S. because I think we've had, you know, I mean, people have been saying I have people in Nashville who are trying to get me down into, you know, play a few of the blues clubs in Nashville and, you know, in Memphis and then down into, as far down as Key West. There's a couple of great blues clubs in Key West that I've never played in, but I've hung out in, and you know, there's a big scene in the South there.
Yeah.
Well, obviously the home of the blues, right? And we've got a lot of really good feedback from those places. So that's what we're trying to do. We're playing right now in this really amazing configuration, because we went from a trio, a bass, you know, the sort of ZZ Top kind of bass, drums, guitar trio. We had trouble holding a drummer, and Dustin Boyer, my amazing bass player, came into rehearsal one day and said, you know, we've got all these drum kits sitting around here, isn't there a way we could rig him up so I could play drums while I'm playing bass? And so
Okay.
We sat down, he plays everything. He's got a kick drum in front of him, normal. Then behind on the floor, he's got a snare drum. He's got another kick pedal that he plays with his heel. And then he's got two hi-hat pedals, one with the hi-hats on it and one with a crash and a hi-hat that he uses as a ride and a hi-hat. And he plays those with one foot. And it is the most amazing thing. If you go to YouTube and White Boy Slim, just Google or search for White Boy Slim, there's a couple of videos. We're putting up more actually this week. Uh-huh. And it is the most, I mean, sometimes I'm so knocked out by it, I forget to play.
I'm going to have to go and watch this. That sounds too much.
You know what I'm envisioning? I'm envisioning this guy sitting there playing this kit on a front cover of an album, and the album has kind of got like a bluish haze in the photograph. and you could call the album 50 Shades of Blues.
That's why we have her around.
If anything, I'm good for a laugh.
There you have it, the name of your next album. I don't even know what the hell to say after that.
Don't be surprised if that's what it turns out to be, too, because we're working on.
Just thank me in the liner notes.
I will, absolutely. The thing is, I mean, we've been working on. I have this great producer / engineer, Larry Kusas, who's did the last album. He's been and he's done sound for me and you know, engineered for me for a couple of years. Well, he used to play with me. We go back a long ways. And we've been working on ways to techniques to record live, to record really good quality stuff live off the floor, so we don't have to track anything. And because we want to get this, we've been promoting it as a two-man quartet, because I play harmonica and guitar, and he plays mm-hmm. bass and drums, and we want to get that. We've been working on techniques to actually get it live off the floor, and the last couple of weeks we've actually got it down, so it's really good quality. He's a really good engineer, and so we're sort of into the second phase of pre-production for the new CD. That's actually a really good title.
Okay,
I don't get to do this very often, but I'm going to do some shameless self-promotion of my record label here. If you go to Facebook and you go to 10 Star Records on there, I actually just put up a really great article on recording live with minimal gear that mm-hmm. was put out by Shure Microphones. And one of the people that works with them and records symphonies and orchestras and things like that. It's a really great article. Might be worth checking it out. And anybody else out there that wants to record their live stuff, it's a really good article on doing it, you know, with not a whole lot of gear and getting a really great sounding recording. And that's important if you're recording live. Recording live can be very tricky to do. Yeah. And I've heard some really great bands really destroy their sound because they didn't have a good live recording when they put it up. And
yeah,
you know, it's easy to just have it just crash on you. Literally crash. And it has nothing to do with the engineer, has nothing to do with the band or anything else. It'll just crash on you.
Mm-hmm. No, I have literally hundreds and hundreds of recorded sets that will never see the light of day because, you know, as good as the performances may or may not be, they just sound like crap.
Don't tell anybody about them. They're skeletons in the closet. You can leave them there. And, you know, when you're dead and gone after you're famous, let me know which closet they're in because I'll go dig them up and sell them. Yeah. They'll be like the Pizza Boy tapes.
Right. You see a lot of those on things like emusic.com where you've got, like, live performances from somebody that they recorded with, a little pocket recorder in 1970 at a concert, you know, where they were sitting in the 23rd row or something. It becomes a semi-official release, and it's like you can hear the people in the audience better than you can hear the band. And
I used to have a Janis Joplin album, and it was a soundtrack from the movie, and it was a two-album set, and I've never seen another one like it. But on the second album, it was all stuff recorded in a bar where she's singing things like Silver Threads and Golden Needles and Whiskey River and stuff, and she's doing this solo acoustic, and you can hear people ordering drinks and glasses chinking and people talking and everything, and it's all on the album. It's actually kind of cool in a way, but
is it a little bit of an environment for your ears?
Yeah, as far as actually hearing her music and her singing and whatnot, it didn't do much for it.
But it gave you that whole Janis Joplin bar experience.
Oh yeah, I love you, Janis, wherever you're out there in the ethers, but you know, that recording was not the best, but it was fun either way. Mm-hmm. So, looking at time and whatnot here, it's about time to roll into another tune here. Give us a quick 30 seconds on Midnight Tango. I like all of these, and they're all so different. I really like Midnight Tango, too, for a totally different set of reasons, but I want to hear your take on it.
Well, Midnight Tango, if you look at it really closely and you listen really closely, it's still you know, mostly blues, but it's got this... like I say, I really like French music. I listen to a lot of French pop music and you know, what they call Apache music and, you know, this kind of the underground music of France. And so I was trying to get that, you know, and there's the whole Apache thing. It's this kind of edgy kind of French subculture. And they do a lot. The tango is a really important part of that. So that's where that came from. I got to admit, there's a little bit of Tom Waits in there, too. And then the Franz was this place that we used to go to in Toronto after gigs because it was open all night. It was right downtown. There were two or three of them. They had really good burgers. And everybody, and we'd be sitting there at like 3, 4 in the morning, and you would Well, everything in the song is literally true. The thing about Donald Sutherland and about hookers and foreign stuff. All
I
that
like
stuff.
This song more and more all the time.
Donald Sutherland and hookers. Sounds
like a great time. It's a quarter to four, and it's halfway to dawn. As it's ever gonna get. Well, I'm sitting in France with a cup in my hands, wondering why I ain't arrived yet. Trying to get through another night doing the midnight tango. Well, the waitress is tired. She smiled too many smiles at people who don't even leave a dime. Her feet are in flames, she's got varicose veins. Her man's in the dawn doing time. She takes another spin on the floor doing the midnight tango. Donald Sutherland sits with a blonde in the back, trying to escape from his fame. But he catches my eye and smiles her I smile, grateful I don't shout out his name. Trying out no malady, doing the midnight tango. Well, the hustlers and the hookers, the dealers and the pimps, and the leeches, the victims and the gifts, the angels and the demons, the saviors and the tricks. They can't escape the call of the midnight tango.
Thank you.
Nice.
Oh, that was wonderful.
The song's timing for the tango is way better than our timing going into it, that's for sure.
I was, you know, Roy, my husband and I have taken tango lessons in the past, and I'm sitting here going slow, slow. Quick. Yeah, that would work.
Every time I think of the tango, I think of Morticia and Gomez. Screw romance. I want what they had.
Me too.
So, anyway, yeah, that was something of a different flavor from the others that we've heard.
Yeah, that was lovely. It was like a nice, smooth Canadian
whiskey.
Is there any place that
nice, smooth Canadian whiskey? I like that.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. 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 I know what I'm doing after the show. No, I forgot what the hell I was talking about.
I don't know. Sorry. I distracted you with whiskey.
Why, boy, you got anything you want to talk about something? I have no idea what I'm talking about now. It's your turn. You get to run this show.
Okay. I have a question for you. We were talking before the show, and you were talking about how your dad had this amazing album collection, and he had, like, Louis Armstrong and some of this. If you had to pick one or two albums out of that collection, what would you say were your two favorite albums?
And these are the only two albums you get to listen to for the rest of your life after the apocalypse.
On a desert island.
Alone.
Wow. Wow. One would be Ray Charles' Genius Hits the Road, which has got, like, Georgia on My Mind and a bunch of, like, those kind of road songs. And I was just a little kid, and I started listening to that. And we had some 78s of Louis Armstrong, really, like, some pretty early Louis Armstrong. There's a bunch of 78s. And I actually got a lot of those digitally now. And I would probably those two things because Miles Davis once said that all jazz comes from Louis Armstrong. All jazz flows from Louis Armstrong, and I think, you know, Ray Charles, I didn't like some of his country stuff, but I think Ray Charles, you know, the first time I ever heard Ray Charles and doing stuff like Hit the Road Jack and George on My Mind, I was just blown away by what, you know, by the quality of his voice. And I love the fact that Ray Charles didn't care at all about genre. I mean, he just wanted to, he just did music that, and you know, genre is a marketing thing, right? If you go back far enough and you listen to black and white acts from the 20s, well, it's hard to tell them apart, right? I mean, they were, you know, if you go back into the Appalachians or you know, the Mississippi Delta, and all these sharecroppers, whether they were white or black, were sitting there on their porches playing together, and you know, they were all so poor that nobody cared about race or anything like that, and their music was just came from the same kind of place with slightly, you know, with obviously different cultural influences, and they influenced each other so much. And I've got this huge song collection of things like the Mississippi Sheiks who go from sounding like straight ahead blues to sounding like country stuff, and that whole, that's why, I mean, it's one of the reasons I called the second CD in Box What Box transgenred, because as soon as you start putting limitations on what you're doing, and you know, so Ray Charles was one of the first people to say to heck with that. And then like Gatemouth Brown, who hated being called a blues singer because he did so much, you know, so many genres, or so many different styles of music that it didn't make any sense to slap a label on it. And I love that. I mean, I love crossing lines, you know. I never was good at drawing inside the lines.
Oh, God, who wants to draw inside the lines?
Yeah.
Hey, it's getting towards the end of the journey here. Not quite there. Yes, so soon. So I'm going to roll down some of our sponsors, and then that way we can wrap right out till the end here, and I don't have to cut us off short at the end or anything like that. I just got, the three fingers up, pointed up at me. So I'd like to thank Yellowstone Cellars and Winery, our local winery here in Billings, Montana. They put out some of the best wines I've had in a long time. So smooth, so silky. And they put out some really great music on Wednesday nights, open mic night, and Friday and Saturday nights. They've got acts down there then, too. And along with the Yellowstones, we got two Yellowstones here. Yellowstone Valley Brewing, they keep us supplied in beer for the show. They usually give us our growlers and stuff. Tonight it was too cold to drive down and get it, so we're drinking hot tea. Also, the Garage Pub is part of Yellowstone Valley Brewing, and that's where you're going to hear some of the best blues music in Billings for sure. So if you make it out this way, white boy, that's the place we're going to put you, is Yellowstone Valley Brewing in the garage up on the stage there every night of the week except Sunday. So let's see who else we got. Legendary Tattoo and Art Gallery, and I gotta throw it out there right now, stop in and see them down on Grand Avenue. Pick up a raffle ticket and win yourself $500 worth of free ink. They're doing two of those they're giving away down there. And that's pretty much it, what we got for sponsors tonight. You got anything else for us before we roll off of here, Mr. White Boy?
I just want to give props to the drummers on the tunes that we've been listening to, and there's two on various songs. And one's my brother Michael Libby, who's a great jazz and blues drummer, and the other is Greg Shatkowski, who is a kind of rock slash country slash blues guy. Who they made these tunes what they are, because it was a real blending of souls on this project, and I just want to make sure they get their props on it.
Oh, cool. Yeah, always got everybody that works on these things. None of us do it alone, that's for sure. It's a group effort on all of it. It definitely is. And we're going to roll out here in just a minute with the last song. It's a unsub, and when I sat and I listened to that, I thought back to something I heard quoted a long time ago. Blues ain't nothing but a good man feeling down, and that's definitely where this song hit me with it. I'd like to thank Tammy for coming down here again tonight.
You're welcome, Roy. It was a pleasure.
Thank you, White Boy. And Mr. Wilson over there for guiding us through this thing, our engineer and navigator. He keeps things rolling. And the Mr. White Boy Slim, thank you so much
thank
for being
you,
on
White
the
Boy.
Show. And thank
it's-
you for your music.
It's been my absolute pleasure. I'd love to do it again, and I definitely want to come down. I definitely want to tour down in, around your area, because, it's one of my favorite parts of the country, too. So
it's definitely doable, and while you're at it, we'll try and get you out in the Northwest. So keep us updated with anything you got coming out, any new albums or anything like that, and have a great night, everybody. Thanks for being on the Earthship.
Thank you. you on the street. You have no suspicion that I'm there. Have your pictures on my wall, missing clothes and lots of hair. When you feel you're being watched, you won't see me, but I'm there. I hear voices deep inside me. They tell me what to do. It's clear what they are saying. They're sending me to you. Starts to grow.